In the time of Christ, the Supreme Council and Court of Israel was the Sanhedrin, an assembly of seven men plus the high priest who presided. And it met in the temple area every day of the year except for the Sabbath and the high holy days. The Sanhedrin ordered the arrest of the Lord Jesus and tried him in the middle of the night to avoid detection by a crowd. And after Pentecost, the Sanhedrin became increasingly worried about the rapid growth of the church and had the apostles arrested and beaten in an attempt to prevent their preaching that Jesus Christ is Lord. Then the Sanhedrin imprisoned the apostles. But during their first night in jail, an angel of the Lord opened the prison doors, led them outside, and gave them instructions to return to the temple and continue preaching the gospel. So at dawn that day, the apostles were back at Solomon's portico, a magnificent colonnade which ran the length of the eastern side of the temple's outer court. Teaching about God was regularly offered in Solomon's portico, and the Lord Jesus himself taught there, so it was no surprise that the 12 would do the same. When the Sanhedrin learned that the apostles had somehow escaped from prison and were back in the temple teaching that Jesus Christ is Lord, they sent the temple guard to bring Peter and the others to stand trial again. And that is where our first lesson begins today in chapter 5 of the Acts of the Apostles, where St. Luke writes, "When the captain and the court officers had brought the apostles in and made them stand before the Sanhedrin, the high priest questioned them. 'We gave you strict orders, did we not, to stop teaching in that name? Yet you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching and want to bring this man's blood upon us.' But Peter and the apostles said in reply, 'We must obey God rather than men. The God of our ancestors raised Jesus, though you had him killed by hanging him on a tree. God exalted him at his right hand as leader and savior to grant Israel repentance and forgiveness of sins. We are witnesses of these things, as is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him.'" Here, friends, is the heart of the gospel, the proclamation that Jesus of Nazareth was killed by crucifixion and then raised to eternal glory by the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob to grant repentance and forgiveness of sins to the whole human race, beginning with Israel. Then Peter proclaimed to the Sanhedrin that the risen Lord Jesus, whose name the high priest would not even utter, is both leader and savior, two words with long histories which are essential to our faith in Christ. The Greek word archegos, translated here as leader, can also mean founder, author, pioneer, and ruler. This word was used to describe the founder of a city who gave the place his name, such as Philippi, named for Philip of Macedon, or Alexandria, named for Philip's son, Alexander the Great. Archegos could also mean a military commander or hero who inspired others to fight and win a victory. And archegos was used in the Greek translation of the Old Testament to describe Adam, Noah, and Abraham, the founders of the human race and of God's chosen people. In teaching that Jesus is the archegos of Christians, Peter is saying that we bear his name, Christ, because he is the founder of the new Israel. Christ is the leader of God's people and the head of the church. Jesus is the victorious hero who conquered sin and death, and he is the author of our faith, who literally inspires us or breathes life into us by giving us the Holy Spirit, who bears witness to the fact of Christ's resurrection and the truth of his gospel. The second Greek word used by Peter to describe Jesus is soter, translated for us as savior. This word was used as a title for Greek gods like Zeus and Apollo, who were thought to protect their devotees from danger. Soter was also a title of the Roman emperor, who was acclaimed as the deliverer of the people he ruled. And soter could also mean a physician who brought healing to the sick. In teaching that Jesus is Savior or Soter, Peter is saying that Christ is the true God, the authentic ruler of Israel and of all creation, the one who delivers us from sin, saves us from the grave, and restores the health of our hearts, minds, and souls unto everlasting life. Peter used these words of ancient pedigree and many meanings to describe Christ the Lord to the Sanhedrin. And in so doing, Peter relied on what the church calls seeds of the word, that is, small fragments of divine truth planted by God in every language and culture to prepare people of all times and places to receive the good news of salvation in Christ. Yes, Jesus of Nazareth is a man like us in all things but sin, but he is also God the Son, the eternal Word, by whom all things were made. And in calling Jesus our leader and Savior, Peter both placed Jesus within the human story and also raised him up as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, which is precisely what we find in the second lesson today from the book of Revelation. I, John, looked and heard the voices of many angels who surrounded the throne and the living creatures and the elders. Then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea, everything in the universe, cry out, "To the one who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor, glory and might forever and ever." The four living creatures answered, "Amen," and the elders fell down and worshiped. This is the Apostle John's mystic vision of the cosmic Christ in unbounded glory, the Pantocrator, the creator and ruler of the universe, who is worshiped world without end by all creation. And that same worship begins here and now in the church, where we serve the Lord Jesus, our leader and Savior, with our words and with our lives. And that is why to be a Christian, to bear Christ's name, requires that we must surrender everything we are and everything we have to his everlasting dominion. We must understand and interpret everything we think and feel, everything we say and do, according to the truth of Jesus Christ and his holy gospel. This includes our most intimate, hidden, and personal thoughts, desires, and choices. It includes all personal, familial, and professional obligations, all financial decisions and political allegiances. It includes everything we have been, now are, and ever will be. For Jesus Christ to be our leader and Savior, absolutely nothing in our lives can be withheld or hidden from him, as though such a thing were possible. And when we fail to surrender everything to Christ, as we all do, then when we see ourselves according to the logic of the world, rather than according to the divine logos, the Word of God, then we find to our continual wonderment that we receive mercy, forgiveness, and an invitation to ever deeper conversion. This was the very lesson learned by none other than Peter himself through anguish, grief, shame, and tears. "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" Jesus asked Peter this question on a beach at the Sea of Galilee, quite possibly on the very spot where 3 years earlier, Simon fell to his knees before Jesus and begged to be released from his vocation as a fisher of men, saying, "Leave me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." Peter verified the reality of his sinfulness many times over, not least in his threefold denial of Christ in the wee hours of Good Friday. And days after the resurrection, Jesus called to him 3 times, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter's love was real, of course, but his courage was greater now after the resurrection than in the agony before the crucifixion. And Peter was gradually learning where his love for Jesus would take him. "You will stretch out your hands, and someone will lead you where you do not want to go." St. John tells us that Jesus spoke these words to signify the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God, a death that would take place nearly 3 decades later on the banks of the Tiber River in Rome, at the Mons Vaticanus, the Vatican Hill, where Simon's grave and the great basilica that rises above it still bear witness that Peter is the rock upon whom Christ built his church, and that Jesus made him the chief pastor of his church to feed his lambs and tend his sheep. Friends, throughout the long years of toil between Christ's resurrection and Peter's death in Rome, the apostle was strengthened by grace through faith in the sure knowledge and transcendent joy of what he announced to the Sanhedrin that morning in Jerusalem. The good news that Jesus Christ, the risen Lord, is the leader and savior of the entire human race, in whom alone we have redemption through the forgiveness of our sins. Christos Anesti, Alithos Anesti, Christ is risen, truly he is risen. Amen. Alleluia.